Haines' incumbent mayor touts experience while her challenger promises positivity. And 15 moose have been harvested in the Haines area. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. Haines has two choices for borough mayor in the upcoming election. At a forum Monday, incumbent Jan Hill touted her experience and connections. Challenger Joni Wagner has no political experience, but she said she would bring a more positive leadership style to the position. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
Wagner didn't waste time in criticizing Mayor Hill's leadership.
The reputation of Haines has been damaged by divisiveness statewide. It's been by divisiveness that has been tacitly supported by our current mayor.
Wagner referred to public statements Hill has made on a few occasions. In one, she called the community hateful and vindictive. In another, she called out the assembly for not representing the whole community after the hire of Deborah Schnabel as borough manager.
I've witnessed our mayor refer to the people of Haines as hateful and mean. I see you, the people of Haines, as diverse, involved, and passionate. We're a small community, and we deserve to be respected, supported, and encouraged by our mayor to pursue our highest goals.
I don't see things through rose-colored glasses. I see them for what they are.
Hill said people were asking her to speak out, and that's why she made those statements. She explained that she usually does not voice her opinions during assembly meetings.
Those comments were from the heart, and at the time, they were true. People were being hateful and vindictive, and it showed. And so I will always speak my mind and be honest with how I feel on things.
But Hill does have doubts about whether making those statements criticizing community members and the assembly was the right thing to do. When asked if she would have done anything differently in her past 3 years as mayor, she said this.
I might not have made those comments that I was asked to make. Because that's why I was being quiet. I didn't want to chime in on what was going on in the community. I was observing. I was quietly meeting with people that were involved in some of those activities and that were causing the negativity. And I don't believe for 1 minute that I was encouraging divisiveness.
The divisiveness came to a head in August's special recall election. It was unsuccessful, with many voters saying the grounds were just too flimsy to unseat the three targeted assembly members. Hill and Wagner have different opinions on the recall. Wagner said the effort should never have made it to an election.
I think it sets a dangerous precedent for Haines that every time people don't get the people in office that they want or disagree with somebody in the assembly that they can recall and they know that it's going to be just a done deal kind of process.
But Hill said it's the citizens' right.
That process is something that is set in place. It's a part of the public process. When citizens are not happy, they have every right to do what they did.
Neither Hill nor Wagner offered specific ideas about how to heal wounds left behind by the recall. Although Wagner did say that she sees herself as a collaborator who can bring people together. Wagner is an artist and business owner who started First Friday Art Walk events in Haines.
I think that what I bring and my experience would be my ability to listen and my ability to have people that have differing opinions collaborate with each other.
Hill is finishing up her third term as mayor. She also is a leader in regional and statewide organizations like the Alaska Municipal League and Southeast Conference. She said her biggest accomplishment in the past 3 years was successfully lobbying to bring those groups' annual meetings to Haines. Southeast Conference is in town this week.
This conference will probably bring about 200 people to our community, and that's a huge boost to our economy. In a time when our economy really could use that huge boost.
Hill and Wagner were on the same page on a couple local issues. Both are opposed to excise taxes on tobacco products. They say it would hurt low-income residents most. They're also hesitant to endorse an expansion of the police service area outside of the Haines town site. Both potential mayors say that issue should be up to outer borough residents to decide. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
The full mayor and assembly candidate forum will be rebroadcast tonight at 8 p.m. and Wednesday at 10 a.m. 15 moose were harvested in the Chilkat Valley as of Tuesday afternoon. Hunters are only allowed to take bulls with specific antler configurations. The animals reported to Fish and Game include two sublegal, 11-3 brow tines, one 50-plus inch, and one spike fork. The hunt is set to close October 7th, but it may shut down early to keep the number of the animals harvested in Fish and Game's management range of 20 to 25. The Alaska Marine Highway System ferry Columbia will be part of an international science experiment starting this fall, when it resumes its weekly run between Bellingham, Washington, and Southeast Alaska. Equipment has been installed to continuously measure the ocean's acidity along the ferry's nearly 2,000-mile route. The goal is to better understand how acidification affects regional fisheries. KRBD's Layla Carey has more.
The 418-foot ferry Columbia is docked at Ketchikan's Vigor, Alaska shipyard while undergoing repairs to its propeller system. That's not great for ferry passengers who've been sailing on the smaller Malaspina instead, but it worked out for a team of scientists who installed a seawater monitoring system on the Columbia before the ferry is due to resume service. Wiley Evans is a researcher with the Canadian Hackeye Institute and is the technical lead in the program. Evans says getting to this point took about 3 years.
Allison Bidlock from Alaska Coastal Rainforest Center and I started talking about this in about 2014. In 2015, we did a similar installation on another passenger vessel that was a glacier tour vessel that operated out of Whittier.
That was a small catamaran.
At the time, I felt it was fairly difficult, but now having been through this installation, that was pretty easy. So,
what was it about this that made it harder? Is it just the size of the ship?
Yes, the size of the ship, the fact that it's a ferry and they're much more, they're very cautious about, seawater flowing through the vessel and how it's moving around the vessel.
The seawater lines had to be engineered and installed. Through those lines, seawater enters the system at the bow thruster cavity and is pumped up to the equipment on the car deck.
Yeah, so the water first flows through an oxygen sensor and then through a thermoselenograph, which measures the temperature and the salinity of the water, and then into these boxes here, these larger boxes. The first is the wet box. Water goes into the wet box and is equilibrated with air.
In other words, ocean water is sucked up while the ship is underway and then is measured for oxygen, temperature, and salinity. That's how much salt it contains. Then it's pumped into the wet box where it's sprayed into a little container. Air in that container picks up carbon dioxide contained in the water. That air is then pumped into a dry box, which analyzes CO2 levels. Evan says they hope to discover patterns of CO2 concentrations along the entire Southeast Alaska and British Columbia coastline, and the ferry is the perfect platform for gathering data.
Nowhere in the world is there a ferry system that's outfitted with CO2 sensors that is running that scale of a transit. So this is really exciting.
Evan says they expect to see seasonal changes in carbon dioxide related to temperature, changes related to freshwater sources such as glacier melt and stream outfalls, and changes connected to areas of large development. Evans hopes the study can continue at least 5 years, but he'd really prefer it to last closer to a decade.
The challenge is really first understanding what the natural variability looks like in this really data-poor region, and then making measurements long enough that we can tease out the long-term actual ocean acidification trend, which is this gradual increase through time. It's really hard to see with just 1 or 2 years of data.
Evan says the data will help fisheries management, especially oyster farmers. In Ketchikan, for example, a small local study has given area oyster farmers a better idea of when to put animals in the water. Crab also are affected by ocean acidification. Evan says it's not yet clear how much it affects other fisheries. Christy Harrington is an environmental specialist with the Alaska Marine Highway System. She says ferry system officials were happy to work with the science team.
It'll give them a lot more data that they can acquire and use. We're just very excited to be able to provide the resource for the oceanographic equipment to be on board.
Evans says the study wouldn't be possible without partners like the ferry system. He also mentioned the Canada-based Tula Foundation, the Alaska Ocean Observing System, Alaska Coastal Rainforest Association, University of Alaska Southeast, and NOAA. The Columbia is currently scheduled to resume its regular run in late October. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight.